Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm John Schumann with Medical Monday. 610,000 Americans have died in the last year and a half. 7,500 of them here in Oklahoma, attributable to COVID-19. As states have reopened and mask mandates have expired, many of us hope that the pandemic would be fully behind us. But as vaccine uptake has lagged, so has our ability to put COVID entirely in the rearview mirror. On today's show, we're going to talk about the so-called Delta variant of COVID, why it's so contagious, and what it may portend for the rest of 2021. My guests today are familiar to listeners of Medical Monday, and today we'll hear from both Dr. Bruce Dart, Executive Director of the Tulsa Health Department, and Dr. Stan Schwartz, Infectious Disease Specialist and Chief Medical Officer of Zero Health. Have you been vaccinated against COVID yet? If not, the advice is clear-cut. You should. And if you have doubt, talk about it with a medical professional. Should you wear a mask? Well, we'll break this down for you during today's show. Doctors Bruce Dart and Stan Schwartz are my guests today on Studio Tulsa Medical Monday. Doctors Bruce Dart, Stan Schwartz, welcome back to Medical Monday. It's really good to have both of you back. You guys have helped guide us through a lot of this pandemic with your excellent information. Let's start by, I think, the topic that's highest on everybody's mind, this so-called Delta variant of coronavirus. And Dr. Stan Schwartz, you were telling me offline about some of the differences between the Delta variant and, I guess you'd call it, the wild type coronavirus or SARS-CoV-2. What are some of the key features that distinguish Delta variant from its, you know, sort of its ancestor?
I think really the key features are that the Delta variant, through mutation, has become much more efficient at being able to attach to human cells. And people who get the Delta variant tend to have a much higher number of virus in their sputum, their expectoration. They just have what we call a higher virus load. So they carry a virus that's more contagious, 50% or more transmissible from person to person. And when they cough, sneeze, or whatever, they send out a spew of a lot more infectious viruses. This is why it's so contagious. This is why we're seeing an uptick in cases. And around the country, it's, I think Bruce can say this better than me, but it's over 80% across the country cases are now due to the Delta variant when we sequence them, the ones that are sequenced.
Yeah. Dr. Bruce Dart, do we know the prevalence of Delta variant in Tulsa or in Oklahoma?
Not yet, but the state is doing sequencing, and we are waiting for those reports to actually come in. And they, we were, as you know, one time we were like last in the country in doing sequencing, but public health lab really has stepped up, and we had difficulty getting samples sent to the state public health laboratory, which we're working very hard with local partners here, at least here in Tulsa, to get them samples. So they're getting more samples now. They're doing more testing, and hopefully we'll have some results soon.
I guess it's never good to assume, but I mean, Stan, you mentioned over 80% nationally of current cases of coronavirus are really this Delta variant.
Yeah, qualify that. Those are cases that have been tested.
Okay, mm-hmm. That have been tested. Now, as a country, my understanding, I mean, it's not really just in Oklahoma, but we're not testing as much. Is it just that we're sort of tired of the whole thing, or testing is somehow less available? Or, I mean, why are we not testing as much?
You know, I think it's a combination of things. I think your first point, people are so fatigued. And, you know, we actually at Tulsa Health Department, we stood down our testing, but we create a partnership with a private entity that has more locations, can do more testing. And we're actually starting to see that ramp up. And so we're actually talking internally that we're going to have to get back into the testing game. But for a while, testing was reduced significantly. And that, I think that hurt us in our tracking and our awareness of just how much penetration we actually had. So we're learning from that lesson, and hopefully we'll get more people convinced to be tested if they're symptomatic, which is confusing because, as Stan mentioned, the symptoms are a little bit different. Some of the symptoms mirror more allergic reactions than the COVID-19 symptoms. So people are confused whether they have allergies or summer cold or COVID. And that's why we're really stepping up testing and trying to get more people into the physician's office or into our facilities that will run tests for them.
I think, you know, looking back last year, I think a lot of testing was driven by fear. You know, maybe I'm a little bit sick, I'll get tested. I think now testing is being driven by people actually getting sick rather than just worrying that they're sick or worrying that they've been exposed.
Hence fewer tests. But even when we're getting tests, that secondary issue of getting the test sequenced to figure out which viral variant we're dealing with, that's a sort of an extra step that maybe whether it's the lab or the acquisition location, whatever it is, we're just not doing that very much. Okay, so Delta variant is much more contagious, much more spreadable, and I've heard varying things. Do we know if it makes people sicker? Or that the jury still seems out on that, right? And part of that is confounded by the fact we do have a lot of people vaccinated. So if they're vaccinated, that's the best protection that folks can get against any variant that we know of so far. But what guideposts can you give us about Delta variant with regard to how sick it makes somebody?
You know, I think you're right in that it appears that it may be more virulent, but that may have to do with the fact that, you know, the viral load becomes higher. You get a higher inoculum, as we say. When you're exposed, you get a higher number of viruses. And when you start from a higher number, you get to an even higher number even faster. And we're also, you know, we're seeing people, the unvaccinated, we're seeing people get sicker faster because we don't have, you know, we have so many people who are protected right now to some degree that, you know, they stand out like the so-called sore thumb. We're in a real precarious situation because what we've learned is that this virus, we know it mutates. It's an RNA virus. Just like influenza, it mutates, maybe not as fast as influenza, but it mutates. You know, in the laboratory, it'll mutate a couple times a month. Well, you multiply that by the trillions of viruses that are being carried by the millions of people who've been infected, and you're looking at all manner of mutations. What people need to understand is these mutations happen regularly. It's a mistake that the virus makes when it copies itself, when it replicates itself. Most of these mutations probably result in a virus that is not capable of infection. But when all these events occur, the virus may actually change the shape of the proteins on its surface, that so-called spike protein, where it actually gains ability to attach. And those things, again, they happen by random. But when you've got so many people with so many viruses, these mutations will happen. So one thing we can be sure of is we haven't seen the end of mutations with Delta.
I think it's important also to point out that, you know, early in the pandemic, our younger demographics, we weren't as concerned about. They weren't getting as sick if they weren't infected, and they weren't getting as infected as easily as our older, more vulnerable populations. Well, now, the vast majority of people really getting sick are these younger demographics. I've heard many individuals in those population groups say, well, I'm not getting the vaccine because we don't get very sick from this. Well, that has now changed. And I think people need to be aware of that. So the risk is much, much higher. And we need to take those aggressive steps to stay safe. Because as Stan was saying, the ability of this virus to change, and the fact that it's so opportunistic and to remain viable is almost getting scary.
Well, just in the last week and a half, 2 weeks alone, we've seen the numbers start to creep back up toward, you know, February numbers. I mean, thank goodness we're not back near last Christmas or when, you know, the height of the pandemic. But of course, different places have had different peaks. But I've been concerned about, you know, a recrudescence of this for the fall. And, you know,
but it's simple math. What we've done is given vaccines to a substantial portion of the American public. We've reduced the people that are very susceptible, but we've introduced a virus that's more transmissible. So we're winding up with a smaller population, but getting more cases. It's just simple math right now.
You know, and I think it's interesting that, you know, so the vast majority of people 65 and over have gotten vaccinated, so they're much safer. So it's a smaller number who's susceptible, but they are getting sicker. And while we might not have as many deaths because they are younger and hopefully healthier, our hospitals are still starting to see an influx of patients, and we have to be aware of that impact on our healthcare systems.
You're listening to Studio Tulsa. It's Medical Monday. I'm John Schumann, and we're talking about the novel coronavirus. We're talking about the Delta variant, very much in the news with Dr. Bruce Dart, Executive Director of the Tulsa Health Department, and Dr. Stan Schwartz, who's an infectious disease specialist and also Chief Medical Officer with ZeroCard. We're learning about the fact that Delta variant is much more infectious than sort of the original novel coronavirus. And, you know, we mentioned this rate of mutation, that it's essentially occurring all the time. So I've been reading about the so-called Lambda variant. I actually was on a medical call yesterday and heard about the South African variant, this one that doesn't seem to be responding to monoclonal antibody. Any comments on those, or we just don't know enough yet?
One thing I'd like to backtrack on
Sure.
is, you know, we used to talk about South African, UK, Brazil, uh-huh. and now we're talking about the Greek alphabet.
Right.
You know, the World Health Organization was just a month or two ago said, you know, all this B117, all these locations were, no country wanted to be tarnished with the UK variant. And you look at the Brazil variant was first found in Japan. So they started a whole new naming scheme using letters of the Greek alphabet. So we're actually up to Zeta now, I believe.
Wow. Well, that's like the Spanish influenza of a century ago was really from Kansas, right? Or that's where it started.
But what we know on the Lambda variant is that it was first discovered, or it's most prevalent right now in South America. And very prevalent in Peru, very prevalent in Chile. But it's less than 1% of the samples that have been tested in the United States. And if you're listening to this days after we record this, keep in mind that you may be hearing things that'll change within a few days.
Yeah, we're hoping to get this up pretty fresh. So hopefully you're hearing this pretty much right after we recorded it. So we've talked a little bit about vaccination. Bruce, the state of Oklahoma is definitely considered a laggard. I mean, if you know, the governor wants us to be a top 10 state, unfortunately we're top 10 in lack of vaccination administration. And that's not certainly not your fault. You've done a great job in Tulsa County. But for whatever reason, we have a lot of vaccine hesitancy. So I guess my first question actually is, you stood up this incredible vaccination, I'll call it a mecca, out at the fairgrounds. Both of my kids went there to get vaccinated. I think as did my wife, as a matter of fact. So we were great fans of that public health effort. I mean, it was very efficient. It really worked. And, you know, after I don't know how many weeks it was, it felt like a pretty short time, 3 weeks, 6 weeks. I mean, basically the demand went down so precipitously, you had to kind of shut that down. And you had maybe a couple of other vaccine locations. But so I guess where are we now? And I guess where is the demand?
You know, for us, it's the demand that's the issue. I mean, accessibility is not an issue here. Supplies of vaccine are not an issue. So we're vaccinating, of course, at four of our locations. We'll start in Collinsville next week. And plus, there's 200 providers in Tulsa County who signed up to be vaccine distributors. And they're involved in the federal program. So access is not an issue. It's the demand that we're concerned about. And we've got to convince people that the need to take this vaccine to stay safe, getting it is easy. But getting people convinced that it's the best step for them to keep not only themselves safe, but more importantly, people around them, their family and their social networks, is really critical because we see what Delta is doing.
Yeah, so I read an op-ed that said essentially, come on, we've done this, what amounts to a natural experiment. We've given hundreds of millions of doses of these new mRNA viruses. That's really, if you want to go by name, the Moderna and the Pfizer. And then in addition, we've given, you know, millions of the Johnson & Johnson single dose vaccine. So we have a track record now of knowing both how incredibly effective these vaccines are and how what very limited side effect profiles. That's not to say some people do get side effects. There's no doubting that. But very, very small numbers in aggregate. Why do you think the FDA has not gone to move it from EUA, emergency use authorization, to fully approved? Because one reading of that is, if it's not fully FDA approved, then workplaces and schools can't mandate that employees or students get them, and that creates a barrier to fuller vaccination.
The way I see it is that we have an FDA approval process which was designed for the vaccines of the 80s, 70s, and 60s, and we have an epidemic problem now of the 21st century that your point is so well taken that we vaccinated millions of people in a very short period of time when vaccines are usually approved by vaccinating a small number of people over a long period of time. The interesting thing about the mRNA vaccines is they're not live viruses. They're incomplete segments of the viral genome. In other words, the part of the virus that is the core of the virus. There's nothing living in it. It can affect your DNA. The shot that you're given, the RNA in the shot, either degrades or is used up in the vaccination process within a few days. The technology's been around for many, many years. This is just the first time it's been used on a wide scale. And it's even safe in terms of you don't have to grow massive amounts of it in a laboratory, growing viruses and eggs like, you know, we do with some other vaccines. This RNA is actually manufactured. So it has all the hallmarks of as close to a perfect vaccine as you could have. But again, the problem is the approval process was never designed for this kind of a response to an epidemic.
Do either of you think we're going to get kids under 12 able to be vaccinated relatively soon? I mean, school year is fast approaching.
You know, I know school starts in less than a month now. I seriously doubt that age group will be eligible for vaccinations by the time school starts. But I'm fully expecting this fall to be able to start vaccinating those kids under 12. And that's going to be, I think, extremely important for school to go forward.
We have pretty low uptake of the 12 to 18, unfortunately, right? It has not gone that well in terms of, I guess, the public health effort. Is any thoughts on why it's just, is it typical vaccine hesitancy, or is it kind of summer break and parents don't want to think about that for their teenagers or that kind of thing? Or,
you know, I think it's a combination of all those things. We are in summer break, and this is a new vaccine. We know the technology is not new, but the vaccine is, and the way it was produced is, and I think that's making people hesitant as well. So, and you know, we always get this. We do back to school vaccines every year, and we have to send out lots of reminders to parents, and parents are busy, and I think, and you add on the heightened burden of COVID-19, and I think the thought processes aren't what they normally are. And that's really impacting those decisions to get their families and their children fully protected. Because we know that every parent wants to keep their child safe, but there's concern about the safety of the vaccine, even though, you know, the data is very clear about the safety and effectiveness of this product. But we have to convince people that that's truly the case. And so how we're trying so many different ways to do that. And as Stan mentioned, we're listening as well. So we want to hear really from people as to the why and have these hard conversations. And not really to convince people, just to lay out what the actual facts and truth really is around the vaccine.
Now, before we started recording, we had a little chat here about the possibility of booster shots. And I think there was a difference of opinion in the room. And Stan, you said you're ready to get a booster shot. Bruce, you were not as convinced. But tell us your thinking, your thought processes on that.
I was being a little bit tongue-in-cheek.
Okay.
But, you know, the important thing is we will start to recognize the need for the booster shot if it becomes need, because people are getting sick who shouldn't. You know, the question is, will we be locking the barn door after the horse is out when we do that? On the other hand, what we don't know is the safety of a third or a fourth shot. So I think those things need to be balanced. And I agree that we need to have a compelling reason for yet another shot. But I don't want that compelling reason to go on very long until those recommendations are made. And it's not like we have a vaccine shortage now, as Bruce said. You know, we could revaccinate people that wanted to be vaccinated. The other question is, and there's been some small studies about this, whether switching vaccines, being vaccinated by more than one vaccine, one type of vaccine, may be beneficial. And that's something that's being looked at.
And, you know, I think Stan laid out really well. And we're hoping that, I mean, I actually fully expect at some point that there will be a recommendation to take a booster. But the facts that Stan laid out, I'd like to be able to speak to those issues in a compelling way so that we can convince people that the booster is needed. I won't be surprised if it happens, but I want this activity to take place before we start having, I think, more detailed conversations about booster when we're still right in the middle of trying to convince people to need to get their initial doses. And
yeah, that's a really good point. You're listening to Studio Tulsa. It's Medical Monday. I'm John Schumann. My guests today are Dr. Bruce Dart, who's executive director of the Tulsa Health Department and been a stalwart in protecting the public during the entire coronavirus pandemic, and Dr. Stan Schwartz, an infectious disease specialist who's also chief medical officer at ZeroCard. And we're talking about, coronavirus. We're talking about the Delta variant. We're talking about vaccinations and perhaps the lack thereof. And gentlemen, I was wondering about something, which is we're hearing a lot about so-called breakthrough cases. This is where people have been vaccinated, and, you know, we think that this vaccine has close to a 90% efficacy. You know, it depends on what you read. I mean, first for the EUA, the emergency use authorization is as high as 95% for one of the vaccines. Probably in the real world, it's probably in the high 80s, but it's still, that's incredibly effective. Stan, as you pointed out, that's about as good as it gets for a vaccine. So help us frame the idea, you know, we know that some people who are going to get vaccinated will get coronavirus, but what do we know about them? They're not going to do as badly, but can you help reassure our listeners that, or tell us what you think anyway?
You know, those who do not learn from history are condemned to repeat it, as a famous philosopher once said. We know from influenza vaccine that there will be people who are vaccinated where the vaccine just doesn't take very well. There are people whose immune systems, especially if they're older, don't ramp up as fast. We know that any vaccine can be overwhelmed if you're exposed to a massive amount of virus, which, again, as we were talking about earlier, the Delta virus, when people have it, they tend to excrete much, much larger numbers of virus. So, you know, in the battle between the antibodies you've made and the virus that the antibodies battle, the virus can actually overwhelm the antibodies and people can get sick. And remember, when we talk about vaccine efficacy, most of what we're talking about is if it keeps you from getting sick. People may still get what we call those asymptomatic infections, even though they're vaccinated. No vaccine is perfect, but it's going to be a whole lot better than the known risks of getting COVID, both the immediate risks and the long COVID risks.
Bottom line, get vaccinated, because even if you get sick when you're vaccinated, or even, I should say, if you get infected, you're much more liable to be asymptomatic or have a mild illness, not get seriously ill or require hospitalization and downstream consequences thereof. All right, gentlemen, I want to turn to masks for a second, because that has always been a contentious issue. I mean, going back to the very earliest days before this was even called a pandemic, before the World Health Organization recognized it as such, early on, I think the science in at least the CDC was a little bit conflicted about this, thinking the mask, and then the science kind of flipped, and it was definitely wear masks. So our mask mandate here locally has been removed, and I guess I'd love to hear your thoughts about if you think we're headed back toward a mask mandate, or I guess there's the World Health Organization has one set of recommendations, the CDC, which is our national public health agency, has a set of recommendations, and Bruce, the Tulsa Health Department has a set of recommendations. Why don't we start there? What is currently the Tulsa Health Department recommendations vis-a-vis, you know, coronavirus, whether or not you're vaccinated, and plus or minus Delta variant?
Well, first, our number one recommendation is get vaccinated. But when it comes to masks, we actually put out a press release this week recommending that all unvaccinated people, when they're out in public, especially at indoor gatherings, they should be masked because they're unsafe and they're putting themselves at risk for potential exposure. Also, we do recognize that as Stan was saying, with those breakthrough cases, people don't get as sick, but we are seeing a little more serious illness in fully vaccinated people with serious underlying health conditions. So we recommend that those individuals, if they're going out in the public, that they should wear a mask as well. And frankly, we're going to start going back to myself personally, masking out in public until Delta's gone. It's just because really a layered approach is, I think, the most important way to keep yourself safe. So vaccination is number one. Masking, distancing, and hand washing are part of those layers. And we need to do everything we can to stay safe. And we just can't reiterate enough about being vaccinated. And, you know, but masks is part of that safety component. And we should seriously consider, especially if you're concerned, put a mask on. I mean, I do now and out in public. And I think it's what we need to do until Delta is no longer a concern. And when that's going to be, we really don't know. So,
you know, the public kind of got locked into that old social distancing of 6 feet, like 6 feet was some kind of magic. It was really the result of understanding the transmission of the original virus that, you know, 6 feet was a pretty good distance that if somebody spewed viruses at you, they likely have been dispersed enough that you wouldn't get a big viral inoculum or load. What we know with the Delta variant is that 6 feet may be irrelevant at this point. You know, the virus is more contagious, it's carried on aerosols. So, you know, in a small building or in an indoor setting, if there is somebody infected, the social distancing may not be as effective as wearing a mask.
Do you think that school districts are going to put mask mandates back in place? And can they do that? I mean, my understanding is I think we've outlawed that as a state, any kind of public mask mandate. I mean, we passed a state law?
For schools, and I think schools and their transportation facilities, State Bill 658 prevents them from initiating any mask mandates within their school district. So the schools are kind of in a rock and hard place right now, and some of the tools that they've had to protect themselves in the past have been removed. So their options are really limited in how they want to keep their students, faculty, and staff safe, which is one of the reasons why we're really pushing vaccine, especially in indoor setting like school and school buildings and classrooms, but they could recommend, but they can't. They require kids to be masked right now.
Do you think we're going to get to the point where, like, even wearing masks is outlawed? I mean, it sounds absurd almost, but I mean, if a kid wants to wear a mask, or the parents say, "Hey, kid, I'm going to wear a mask, and I want my kids to go to school and wear a mask," you know, for lots of reasons, either protect the kid, protect coming home with the virus. We got grandma at home, or, you know, nobody's talking about that, are they? It's all about liberty, right? So freedom of choice would be, if you want to wear a mask, you can wear one. It's just you can't make me wear one.
And that's kind of where we're at. And you know, which is fine if you're in a room full of people who are eligible to be vaccinated. But right now we have all kids that are younger than 12 who are not eligible. And so the risk factor for those children, and then, of course, the adults in the classroom with them, raises exponentially with the viral penetration in the community, which we know right now is very high. So they're at risk, and we have to be clear and transparent about that. And we have to do everything we can to keep those populations safe, which right now, until they can be vaccinated, they should be masked in an indoor setting.
You know, I want to kind of wrap up where we started, back to the Delta variant. And Stan, you used the metaphor of the horse closing the barn door after the horse has left. Is the horse already left with regard to the Delta variant? I mean, if we were able to mount a vigorous vaccination campaign and get the vaccine hesitant or vaccine refusing folks, you know, up to speed, where we, and I guess we've kind of left the term herd immunity behind. But I mean, is Delta variant like so prevalent and just exponentially growing that, like, I don't mean to fearmonger here, but are we looking at a fall? Like, everything I read seems to indicate that we're having, you know, more and more clusters of this, you know, what amounts to this pivot of the original coronavirus that seems very, very contagious.
Well, I mean, you look at the fact that we're having yet another surge, which could have been predicted. We are about to get into a colder season, which we know. We are about to have kids go back to school, and we know from influenza that they have the ability to move viruses from one family to another. You know, the stage is set that we may get into trouble. There may be additional variants pop up. You know, we're not learning from the history of this virus. And unfortunately, you know, I think we will pay a price for not learning it.
Bruce, I want to give you the last word. If you what do you want to share with our listeners? You've been pretty clear. Get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, any other words of wisdom for as we roar through the summer and get to the fall?
You know, and I'll continue to really push being vaccinated. But for those who aren't yet or are hesitant, you know, I think the best information they can get is from their trusted medical provider. And please make that call. Physicians out there, if you've got patients who you know are hesitant, contact them. Have these conversations. And we have to listen to each other. I mean, public health, we're really guilty of saying, do this and do that. We got to stop that. And we've got to listen to people and have thoughtful conversations to hopefully that will convince people that this is the right thing for them. And really, more importantly, people around them. I mean, we're not just talking about you as the individuals. Your social circles and your networks are at risk if you're unvaccinated and infected and around these individuals as well. So it's more than just you. It's those you love and those you work with and those you're around that we want you to protect them as well.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for coming back. You guys have been a fount of solid information during the pandemic and have definitely reassured me. And it's great having you back. And I certainly look forward to having you again. And hopefully we can just talk about, you know, where we go on vacation or something like that. Guys, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us, John. Appreciate it.
Dr. Stan Schwartz is an infectious disease specialist here in Tulsa. He's also chief medical officer for Zero Health. Dr. Bruce Dart is executive director of the Tulsa Health Department. Well, that's our show for this Medical Monday. Studio Tulsa is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of KWGS or the University of Tulsa. For Studio Tulsa, I'm John Schoen with Medical Monday. Thanks for listening, and please stay safe out there. Get vaccinated if you haven't already.